Hi, welcome to the new ABCs of Pediatrics with Dr. Kimberly Clare and Dr. Michelle Constant of Premier Medical Group, Pediatric Division. In this podcast, the doctors are going to discuss COVID symptoms and prevention in children.
This is Dr. Kimberly Clare, and I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Michelle Constant. We're
Hi.
Both pediatricians at Premier Medical Group in Poughkeepsie, New York, and we've known each other for almost 20 years. And we're here today to talk to you about COVID in children. Today we're going to talk mainly about symptoms and testing, but also about how to prevent it and maybe some suggestions in helping to boost the immune system. So Michelle, can you talk a little bit about what symptoms a parent might see if their child has COVID?
Sure. First, I just want to let parents know that many people who are infected never have symptoms to begin with. A study showed that about 13% of pediatric cases with the novel coronavirus were asymptomatic. But when symptoms do occur, they can range from mild to severe, appearing about 2 to 14 days after exposure to the virus. And symptoms can include coughing, fever, shortness of breath, chills, muscle pain, sore throat, nasal congestion, a new loss of taste or smell, fatigue, headaches, poor feeding, or poor appetite. Less common are GI symptoms, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. With that said, Dr. Clare, you want to talk about some of the rare complications of COVID-19?
So many parents have noticed that there have been recent news reports about a syndrome that's being called pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome associated with COVID. And, you know, we have definitely been getting phone calls with parents concerned about this. What I wanted parents to know, however, is that kids with this syndrome are quite sick. They have a fever, usually for multiple days. They are in shock. They can have cardiac disease. They can have failure in multiple symptoms, including their kidneys, lungs. So though initially they can present with symptoms like rash, eye redness, swelling of the hands or feet, most of these children are quite ill-appearing and often end up hospitalized. Also, it's a syndrome that is extremely rare. Thus far, probably only 100 suspected cases have been identified, although the State Health Department and the Centers for Disease Control are encouraging doctors to report patients who might be affected. With that said, Michelle, can you talk a little bit about cases where you might test kids for COVID?
Sure. So if you suspect your child has COVID-19 and symptoms are mild, you don't necessarily need to go for testing. Call your pediatrician for advice on this. However, do seek medical attention if your child has trouble breathing, persistent fever, persistent pain or pressure in their chest, inability to awaken or stay awake, bluish lips or face, weak pulse, symptoms of this nature. Definitely seek medical attention.
Now, the other question is, what can parents do to decrease their children's risk of COVID disease?
So, in talking about prevention, which really is the key, probably the best thing you can do is hand washing. And that's at least 20 seconds. Teaching your child to wash their hands properly, that means washing the back of their hands, in between their fingers, under their nails. Develop a ritual about hand washing. Wash your hands upon entering the home, before or after preparing food, when touching or blowing your nose. certain things will become a ritual for you. So hand washing is probably the most important. Avoid touching your face as much as you can. Avoid people who are sick. Clean and disinfect highly used surfaces, tables, doorknobs, especially your cell phone, light switches, handles, you know, toilets, sinks. Clean those surfaces daily. Wash plush toys in the warmest setting allowed. Practice social distance. 6 feet away from anyone who is not in your household. Limit time with older adults or people with serious underlying medical conditions. Consider postponing your trips to grandparents' homes or older family members whenever possible. And according to the CDC, children 2 and older should wear a cloth face covering in public settings, especially where it's difficult to maintain social distancing, like in supermarkets, for instance. No need to buy an N95 mask. We want to reserve these for healthcare workers and medical first responders. Gloves are recommended if cleaning or caring for someone who is sick. Otherwise, they're not needed in the general public, like going to an ATM or pushing a shopping cart. Really, it's about washing your hands in these cases, period. Or using alcohol-based sanitizer if you're on the go with at least 60% alcohol. The CDC also recommends not having in-person play dates with children from other households. To help your child maintain their social connections, allow them to have supervised phone or video chats when possible.
The other thing that we've talked about is the importance of maintaining your regular health visits with your pediatrician, even during these times of social distancing. You know, even though a lot of parents are nervous about bringing their children into the doctor's office, I think that making sure that they're up to date on their regular care, getting their vaccinations, getting their routine physicals are going to help to prevent other illnesses and problems from developing by not getting routine care. Michelle, I know that you have several suggestions of what you use to help people boost their immune systems.
So, you know, a couple of things. One is definitely trying to get a good amount of sleep, trying to maintain a good sleep schedule. Research has shown that sleep-deprived people can have suppressed immunity, putting them at higher risk of getting viruses. So, and this is a little difficult during a time when kids are home, out of school, and staying up later, but try to maintain a consistent schedule as much as you can. Exercise, you know, regular exercise can boost your immunity by increasing your white blood cells. So even a good walk in your neighborhood if you're able to maintain social distance. Maintain a balanced and varied diet. You know, limit the highly processed foods like cakes and cookies. And whenever possible, try to increase key immune-boosting nutrients, such as vitamin D. So vitamin D is linked to higher risk of, vitamin D deficiency is linked to higher risk of respiratory infections and more severe symptoms. So besides sunlight, natural sunlight, vitamin D is also found in salmon and tuna. It's fortified in dairy products, eggs, mushrooms. And if you're going to buy a supplement over the counter, it's ideal to take vitamin D3. Zinc is also great for the immune system, and that's found in beans and chicken and shrimp, asparagus, spinach, beef. So, and there are supplements as well for children. Vitamin C is also an immune booster, and that's found in great citrus fruits and broccoli and strawberries, dark leafy vegetables, bell peppers, you know, the list goes on. Selenium is another one as well that's key in the immune function, and its richest source is Brazil nuts, but it's also enriched in pastas and grains, so that's important. If you're cooking, throw in some extra garlic to help boost that immune system. And probiotics to consider as well.
So I hope that it's been helpful hearing some of the information that we talked about.
You know, one last thing, Kim, maybe to inform parents about testing?
Oh, yes. There are two kinds of tests generally available for COVID-19. One is to test for current infections. So if your child has symptoms suggested of COVID, including the respiratory symptoms, these would be the nasal swabs that are done at various testing sites around the area. People also have been asking frequently about antibody testing to test for past infection, which, you know, are in their early stages of use around the area and don't give us a definite certainty as far as whether you would be immune to getting infected again. So at the moment, we are only testing in acute cases where it's important to know whether the child is positive, but antibody testing should be reserved for cases where your doctor recommends it. This is Dr. Kimberly Clare and Dr. Michelle Constant from Premier Medical Group Pediatric Division with offices in Poughkeepsie and Fishkill. We encourage you to keep in touch with your pediatrician or family doctor during this time so that they can give you the best advice out there on how to best keep your family safe and healthy. Please make sure to maintain regular health care visits to make sure that your family stays in optimal health. On our next session, we're going to talk about ways to talk to your children about quarantine, social distancing, and any concerns that they might have about coronavirus. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay well.
You've been listening to the new ABCs of Pediatrics with Dr. Kimberly Clare and Dr. Michelle Constant of Premier Medical Group, Pediatric Division. To catch this podcast again and others, visit K104Online.com. For questions and more information on the doctors and Premier Medical Group, visit PremierMedicalHV.com or call 845-454-4200. Their offices are located in the atrium at Mid-Hudson Regional in Poughkeepsie and at 200 Westage Drive, Suite 111 in Fishkill. Join us again next time when the doctors will discuss talking to your kids about quarantine.